Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic, we are continuing with an awesome topic called How to Learn Astrology, a wonderful edition this week for those of you trying to learn astrology, and an excellent review for those who think they know astrology. Today's focus is on the 12 houses of life. Wow, so this is really becoming a trip. And welcome to Rainy Days and Fridays, another exciting edition of the Astrology Hour. Are you getting ready for some wild occurrences today? I'm telling you something. There's all kinds of strange astrological energies out there. Marilyn, if you should have that baby during a moon wobble, full moon in Scorpio, Mercury retrograde with four planets retrograde, I have nothing to promise you, but at least that baby will be probably Superman, I would think, you know, or something like that. But anyway, there's all kinds of stuff going on out there. Can you imagine making a movie during this this cycle? It makes you wonder, what's that going to happen to that movie? But still, some people are getting married tonight and tomorrow, you know, and all kinds of things are going on, but still, it is an unusual time. It's really a good time to reflect and to review and to finish projects and to lay low and to be mellow and happy and carefree and nothing too intense. Okay, all week we have been looking at the science of astrology going beyond sun signs, and all week we've been analyzing different aspects of the birth chart. Today we're going to take a look at the 12 houses of life. The inner circle of the birth chart is divided into 12 sections known as houses. These are distinct astrological categories and relate to everyday activities. The first house to physical appearance and temperament, the second to possessions, and so on. Planets and signs fall within a house's sphere of activity according to their position on the chart. They are then said to be in the seventh house, quote unquote, for example, which means that their influence will be focused in the area linked with seventh house, that is, in relationships of an emotional partnership or business nature. A planet or planets placed in a particular house on the birth chart affects the area of life represented by that house in a manner typical of the planet, depending what the planet means. If a house is empty of planets, this does not mean that the area of life it represents is unimportant or devoid of interest. The house must be considered according to the sign in which the cusp or starting point of the particular house falls. And during this show, of course, when we take a look at the planets in the houses, we will find that a phrase that I will use in today's topic, under affliction, will be used from time to time. And a planet is said to be afflicted when it receives negative or strenuous aspects. That is, if it appears at a particular angle to one or more planets as plotted in the birth chart that we refer to as a square or an opposition or an inconjunct. The areas of life represented by the 12 houses are going to be revealed to you in today's show, and it will be seen that the first six houses are in some ways related to the second six in the areas of life they represent. This is traditionally an established relationship in that the first six houses are the self or you, and the last six houses are the top six houses, literally are the world, are the universe. And the two main points that we need to know about when we talk about the 12 houses, first of all, is the rising sign, or otherwise known as the ascendant. And that is spelled A-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-T, and that is explained in your astroscope. The ascendant is revealed to you what sign it's in, and we find the 12 houses of life. In other words, we discover their location by first knowing where the ascendant or the rising zodiac sign in your chart is. And we calculate this location through calculus and physics for you when you send in your date, time, and city of birth. We send you back the ascendant location, and by knowing where the ascendant is, we let you know where your first house starts. Okay? And so the first start in calculating any birth chart is to discover the ascendant and the midheaven. And, of course, the calculations follow different lines for eastern and western longitudes. But by knowing where you were born, what city or what country, we can still figure that out for you. When you find out your rising sign, your rising zodiacal sign, we've talked about it this week as one of the three majors, it is a very important part of the natal or the birth chart because it gives us the appearance, the character, the identity, the personality, and a great deal of the emotions of an individual baby, an entity, a project, or an idea. Okay, so when we look at the rising sign, we place the first house cusp, or the beginning of the wheel, okay, which is divided into 12 equal sectors, known as the 12 houses, we place that on the far left edge. So if you have your astroscope in front of you, if you're looking at it and you're holding the page upright so everything reads properly, you will see 12 slices of pie. It looks like a pie. And basically, you can number your 12 houses by finding your ascending sign, your rising zodiacal sign, by looking to the far left edge of that circle. In other words, if you look to the circle and you go to the center of the circle, the huge circle, and then you go all the way to the far left edge of the most outer circle, where a 9 would be, if you numbered that wheel like a clock, And if you imagined where number 9 would be on a clock face, far left edge of the wheel, that is where the rising point is. And you can circle that little area in your chart. Mine says 2-0, and then it says L-I, which is Libra, and 1-7, because I am a 20 degrees Libra rising in 17 minutes of the 20th degree. And that way, by circling it, you can write ascendant, okay, our rising sign right next to that point. And then going counterclockwise, you can number your houses. The bottom six, going from left to right, would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you're already on the far right side of the chart, the far right edge, where the number 3 would be on the clock face if it was a clock. Don't write 3, but imagine it. And then going counterclockwise from right to left in the top half of the chart, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 at the top, just to the left of the top, and then 11 and 12 would be placed right where the first house begins. The 12th house ends, and then the first house begins again, beginning the eternal circle of the 12 houses of life. Okay? Now, so you should have some idea what the 12 houses, where they are located, and now we're going to talk about what they mean. Now, the focus of the 12 houses of life, specifically, once we get a rising sign, we can sort of figure out how a person is going to handle life by knowing his 12 houses, which means that if you're a Virgo rising, then you are going to relate and get along with all the Virgo risings on this planet. That means one out of 12 people, you can be sure that there will be some degree of compatibility for you between them. Because why is that? Well, because you all will have Virgo on your first house cusp, and you'll all have Libra second house cusps, and Scorpio third house cusps, and then all the way around the chart, you'll all have the same zodiacal signs identifying the values of your same houses. So that's why people of similar rising signs get along, because their 12th house setups are in what we call synchronization, or in sync with each other. So compatibility-wise, if you find out you're an Aquarius rising, now you know why you would relate more to other Aquarius risings in the world, because their 12 houses would align to your 12 houses. Okay? And that's why I love Libra rising people like John F. Kennedy and Jimmy Carter and a whole bunch of my friends and people I've known, because they also relate to me. And, you know, I do call the 12 rising signs like the 12 tribes of astrology, the 12 unique vibrations of astrology. So actually, understanding there are only 12 house setups. In other words, in equal house astrology, which is what I teach on this show, there are only 12 particular house setups. We don't do unequal houses, so Virgo risings will all be the same as far as what signs are on their house cusp, and that's why I love equal house astrology. And the Scorpio risings also, and Sag risings, and so on. Okay, so it is very important to note that once you learn your rising sign, it'll give you some idea of compatibility in case you should ever meet someone else that has the same rising sign. And also, must have the dropsies today. Drop my pen twice. Real good. What is this saying? It's all these crazy planets. Just because you don't have any planets in the sign, that's okay. Because the way you understand how you view life is you first of all take what the house means, which is what I'm going to tell you today, and then you attach the sign on the cusp of that house. Okay? And if you know anything about astrology, you'll be able to take the keywords for that zodiac sign and connect it to what's going on with that house meaning. And then if you have any planets in that house, you also include that. And most people have two signs in each house because each house is divided by usually two energies, unless the rising is at zero, which is extremely rare. Even a 1 degree Aries rising is going to have his first house going from 1 degree Aries all the way to 1 degree Taurus, okay? And then it will end, okay? And then the second house will begin 1 degree Taurus. So there will be one single degree of Taurus trapped in that first house. So that will still give you an injection combination of Aries-Taurus energy concerning first house matters, whatever the first house means, which is what we're going to discuss today, okay? So, in other words, when an astrologer wants to study a person and understand them, what he does is he goes through each house, checks the sign on the cusp, checks the other sign included in that house, if any, checks the planets in that house, the aspects to those planets, and this is how we figure people out. This is how we try to dissect an individual astrologically. Now, the first, if you have any planets in any of these houses, then there'll be a focus on the activity happening in that house, which means that if I'm talking about the first house and you have a planet in that house, that means there's going to be more karma in that area of your life, okay? Which means that if you don't have any planets in the third house, you're not going to have any dealings with your brothers and sisters or communication, but that area might be a little easier, more free flow for you, okay? Whereas if you do have planets in a house, those are like the areas of life that you're majoring in to graduate, okay? Now, the first house, which is the rising house, it rules the personality, the overall health of the individual and the temperament, plus the physical body and appearance. This house also represents the subject as he appears or she appears to outsiders. Okay? So if you ask someone to guess your sign, look out, they might guess your rising sign. And it has a bearing on manners as far as ethics and courtesy and forms of outward behavior first learned in childhood. And planets in the first house are very powerful in influence because they usually accentuate your personality unless it's Saturn in that first house. Okay? The second house, if you have planets in this house and what it means, you know, like see, I'm Libra rising. So you take that Libra energy and put it on the cusp of the first house, and I have some Scorpio in that house too. So we see that my personality and my appearance and my childhood and my manners and such and the way I express myself, which sometimes can have sexual innuendo, you might notice, because I have a Scorpio moon in that first house, are a combination of all these things, Libra, Scorpio, the emotional energy from the moon, and all those four squares on my moon. So there's been lots of stress and karma concerning my appearance, my personality, my manners, and all those things that are first house influences. So, you know, astrology is a science of combinations, and once you get your keywords down, you'll be able to learn those combinations. The second house rules possessions of all kinds, and the material world are what is owned by the self and the subject's attitude towards them. Your worldly resources, those resources that might support your physical body, and the sign on the cusp may indicate lucrative sources of income, like Aries risings have Taurus in the second house, so they're naturally more designed for wealth for that reason. So that's a natural placing. The second house is also concerned with feelings, especially in relationship to planets appearing in that house. So if you have Mars in the second, then obviously men are going to be very important to you. And if you have Jupiter in the second, then travel will be very important to you, because those are key words for those planets. The third house, if you have any planets in the third house, there'll be a focus on family ties, such as brothers and sisters, cousins, second cousins, etc. School life, like elementary school and high school, There's focus on that. Third house planet people usually excel in those areas unless they have severely afflicted planets there. Education, communications, media, computers, letters, books, writing, short journeys, cars, bikes, public transportation, speech. And this mind is also associated, the mind itself is associated with the house or the psychological framework, as is the relationship of the subject to his environment and his self-expression as far as how he communicates in a daily life. Okay? Isn't this great? If you have planets in the fourth house, there's a focus on the beginning and end of life and past lives here, the home as base. This house, together with the 10th house, has a certain bearing on parents, their attitudes and abilities to fulfill their commitments to you. And since personal status and home life depends to some extent on them, parents are important for this house, especially the mother. Houses, land, and private life are also related to 4th house matters, including emotions. So there's focus on all those areas if you have planets in the fourth house. If you have planets in the fifth house, creativity, children, more emphasis on family, pleasures, romance, holidays, entertainment, enterprises, new undertakings, speculation, gambling, sports, love affairs, and also sometimes the objects of affection such as pets, playmates, and sweethearts can be fifth house. Pets kind of go over into the sixth house, too. And if a planet is seriously afflicted in the fifth house, then looseness or promiscuous behavior and self-indulgence can occur. So we really find out who plays around here with this topic, I'll tell you. The sixth house, which is located right there on the right side of the chart, just below the horizon, rules work and also subordinates, and providing a strong pointer to people's attitudes towards servants and slaves. Okay, nowadays, the plumber and the electrician, or the carpenter, the shop assistant, the cleaning lady, are likely substitutes as far as these type of people being in your life. You know, as far as you having people. Sixth house planets, you'd be dealing a lot with plumbers and carpenters and such, and electricians maybe. This is also the house of health and service analysis, and also physical well-being cannot entirely be assessed from this, but if you're destined to have hospital stays or surgery, sometimes they are shown by sixth house placement of planets. Like my dad's got Mars in the sixth, so he's been in the hospital quite a few times. Mom's got Mars in the sixth, so she's visited people in the hospital quite a few times. She's never, thank God, been there. Okay, the seventh house, we're going above the horizon now. And any planets in the seventh house actually are opposite, or they do relate to the house opposite its own house. So as the first house relates to the personality, the seventh house indicates those in close relationships of an emotional and business nature or personality that we most come closest to. Our personality opposite the ones we're closest to, okay? And the sign on the cusp of this house often provides a good indication of the marriage partner or the type of energy that you will seek in a partner, as according to whether it's stressed or not in his or her chart. Not always, but the sign opposite the ascendant is called the descendant, or the falling sign, which is the cusp of the seventh house. And oftentimes we need these qualities in an individual to get along with them. Like I have Aries in the seventh house, so I need somebody who is Aryan in nature, or somebody that is really involved with the self, self-love, self-esteem, and energy, high energy, and also power, and also just having fun, being childlike in a way. So that's you find out a lot by knowing your descendant in the seventh house cusp. The eighth house, now the eighth house is opposite the second house, and the second house rules possessions, so the eighth house rules other people's possessions, okay? Money from legacies, inheritances. It also rules other people's values and feelings, like the second house is our feelings and our values, and the eighth house is other people's values and feelings, so we're getting intimate now. And also, life force elements of sex, birth, and death are included in this house. Attitudes towards death and afterlife Also, in addition, big business, stock exchange, insurance company, and also crime are in the eighth house. Our criminal tendencies and sex are intimate affairs in your life. Heavy stuff, isn't it? The ninth house is opposite the third house. So whereas the third house is how we think and how, what we teach, the ninth house is how other people think and what they teach or philosophize. We're getting a lot more deeper into higher communications. The educational and intellectual elements of the third house are extended in the ninth to further education, study in depth of profound subjects and mental explorations like college, master's and doctorate degrees, also long distance travel, foreigners, languages, law. And this house is also has a bearing on moral ideals, religion, conscience, and dreams. Lots of energy and lots of information in this topic today for sure. The 10th house, from the roots of the 4th house, we find the 10th house is opposite the 4th. We move away from the home to home away from home, which is more like career. A lot of people live in their offices. Well, this is why. So we move from the roots of the 4th house into the 10th house to aspirations, ambitions, public standing, fame, and public recognition, if any, and to all matters outside the home, the career or profession, and attainment in that field are recognized here. Social status and responsibilities, a sense of discipline, matters affecting outward appearances and personal image, and how we suffer to evolve are revealed from 10th house planets, evolution through martyrdom and suffering. The 11th house is opposite the 5th house. So whereas the 5th house is our family and our creative interests, the 11th house would be the family of man and the creative interests of the world, humanitarianism. And this house influences friends, acquaintances, clubs, societies, goals, organizations, objectives in life. The more detached contacts made in day-to-day affairs, intellectual pleasures, as opposed to more physical or sporting forms of relaxation, games, technology, advanced computer concepts like software and such are found in the 11th house. And then finally, the 12th house, the final house of life, a need for seclusion with people with 10th house, with 12th house planets, which is what I have, Mars and Neptune in the 12th, service to mankind, more than service to yourself and around the home. The 12th house is service to others, such as hospital visiting. Instead of being in the hospital, visiting others there, or visiting people in other institutions like prisons and such. Self-sacrifice, also often as a result of a partner's illness. Escapism, the unconscious mind, okay, the psychic mind. Drugs and alcohol. The presence of many planets in this house, by the way, is at the present time an indication of negative escapism if afflicted, making the subject highly susceptible to drugs and alcohol and cocaine and marijuana and such. Or these people can be spiritual leaders, channels, and psychics on the other hand. So stuff we need to understand. Now, one clear focus that I want to go over with you. If you didn't notice the similarity now, let me tell you. Because each one of the 12 zodiac signs houses a personal vibration, or actually embraces a personal vibration in each one of the 12 houses. So having planets in a particular house will resemble having planets in a particular zodiac sign. And I'm going to tell you what signs adhere to what houses, and that way you'll know. For example, the Aries energy adheres to first house vibrations. I don't know if you understood the key words for the first house, but they also relate to Aries at the same time. So having Aries in that first house, having planets in the first house, no matter what sign they're in, will also resemble and reflect an Aries force. Okay? So you might not have Aries in your chart, but you could be as obnoxious as an Aries, or as powerful or aggressive or as warm and affectionate as an Aries by having planets in the first house. So even though my moon's in Scorpio, it's in the first house, so that moon is like an Aries-Scorpio factor moon. So hence my emotions are Aries-Scorpio, fiery and emotional. See how it works? So you combine the energy of the house that a planet's in with the sign that the planet's in, and knowing what zodiac sign is reflected from the house it's in, you combine that to the zodiac sign to truly understand a planet. Like, you could have a planet in the eighth house in Virgo, like Sun in Virgo, which is normally going to be a very prudent, ethical, moral placing. But in the eighth house of passion and sex, which is a Scorpio factor, that planet's been transformed from just Virgo to a Virgo-Scorpio energy. And that's why these people romantically can be kind of strange or different or a little bit erratic as far as some days being passionate and other days being extremely cold or prudish or closed down. So that's how you can figure people out. The second house reflects the Taurus factor. The third house reflects the Gemini factor. See, if you know your signs in order, you'll get this topic right down. Fourth house planets reflect a Cancerian factor energy, and fifth house planets reflect Leo vibration. So that's why fifth house planet people can be so arrogant and stubborn and closed down or childlike, babyish if they have afflicted fifth house planets. Sixth house energy reflects Virgo factor, and that's so true. Being raised by two parents, both with Mars in the sixth house. Wow. There's it was like the army. Let's just face it. Sixth house planets reflect Virgo factor. Seventh house planets reflect Libra factor energy. Eighth house planets, the Scorpio factor energy. The ninth house planets placed in the natal chart are Sagittarius factor. 10th house would be like unto Capricorn energy planets, and 11th house would be Aquarius energy planets, and the 12th house would reflect a Piscean vibration. See, so this is an excellent topic for those of you learning astrology to understand the placement of your planets in their houses, what they mean with focus on aspects, and also the additional energies that I just attached to all 12 houses. I hope you've enjoyed this series we've done this week on how to learn astrology, and if you have, then you probably definitely have been learning a lot about astrology.